I am a jokester, those who know me. And so after the service, you will receive your free roll of toilet paper as you exit the building. Do I have your attention yet? When I woke up yesterday, on the news there was a pizza place that was giving out a roll of toilet paper with every pizza purchase. I'm like, God help us. What has the world come to? And, you know, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and soundness, a sound coconut. And we need to use that. We need to be sensible and use wisdom, but my goodness, I just can't believe it. Have you been in the supermarkets? Have you seen the shelves cleaned of toilet paper, napkins, paper towels? Because I'm like, what on earth is driving this thing? Fear, exactly. And my God, hello, my God shall supply all my needs and your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the word of God. And we need to stand on that and not be fall prey to any other spirit than the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, I think I'm going to preach this morning. Maybe I already am. Hold on a minute. Kathy actually introduced, and Kathy never knows what I'm preaching out of. I don't share that with her. And she opened with the scripture from Intercessors for America, Daniel chapter 2. That's my text today, and I didn't know that that was their first scripture either. I hadn't seen the memo. So, Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Amen. Just a few short weeks ago, during corporate prayer, I received a vision. And what I saw, from my perspective, I was looking over the shoulder of a chess player. And I could see the pieces on the board. And in my peripheral vision, I could see who I then recognized as the Father. I could not see the other side of the board because it was in darkness. Guess who was on the other side, and guess who was seated in front of me? The Lord Himself. And the Father didn't have to even speak. He was in charge of the game. Hello. And He was directing every move. He didn't have to speak, I did see Him point. And what I heard was the name Chess Master. And, you know, in spite of what we see, we're supposed to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. In spite of what we see, Jesus is still seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. That has not changed, nor will it change. The only thing will change is when He stands up. But He will not relinquish His position at the right hand of the Father. Now, any good chess master, or actually it would be called a grand master in the chess world, knows his next move. And he sees a progression of his next moves. And not only that, he sees or foresees or anticipates the moves of his opponent. That's why they call him or her a grand master. And we know the master. He knows the moves. He knows the plans. He knows the purposes he has, not only in this world, but right down to the nitty-gritty details of your life and my life. He has everything mapped out, and nothing is going to prevent His will from being established in the earth or in my life or in your life also. He has the power to sustain that which He has purposed and planned. So, I don't have to tell you we are living in uncertain times, and the COVID-19 is representative. It's just the latest thing. There are plenty more things that are very uncertain. And it is amazing that, you know, the stock market is driven by fear, not by faith. And so you see what's happening. As fear is and manipulation is rampant, the stock market has taken an unprecedented tumble in the last week. That's going to change. It's only temporary because it's driven by fear. And once the confidence level rises again, and it's the numbers of the statistics in China are already going downhill, which was the epicenter of this virus. I don't say it's wrong to be cautious and, you know, make some sort of guidelines, but it's gotten out of hand. And I don't have to tell you, just go anywhere. And it's just too much. So we, as Christ followers, need to be faith-driven, not fear-driven. Can't allow fear to dictate what we do, where we go, who we see, where we worship. So how can you know how to proceed in uncertain times? How can you recognize or anticipate the next move of your enemy, your opponent, the one who wants to seek, kill, and destroy? That's his only mode of operation. By seeking, hearing, responding to, and obeying the voice of the Lord. Therein is our salvation. Therein is your salvation as well. So, not surprisingly, I've entitled this morning's message, Next Moves. That was an amen of sorts, I guess. Next moves, or moving into destiny. There are a number of things in these few verses here in Daniel chapter 2. First, share the burden. It's talking about prayer and intercession and how valuable it is. It's not a defensive weapon, it's an offensive weapon. And we need to look at it in that light. So we see in verse 17, Daniel 2, and I might add that even though Daniel was very gifted and very confident in his giftings of dreams and interpretations of dreams and visions, still, it says, he informed his friends, his trusted friends, about the matter. And the reason was so they could unite with him. He was sharing the burden in prayer. He was counting on them to back him up in prayer so that he would get the not only the king said, I don't want the interpretation, I want the dream. The king didn't even tell the wise men what the dream was. He said, I want you to tell me the dream and then the interpretation of the dream. Now, in the natural, that's impossible, but not in the spiritual. And that's where our strength is. It lies in the spiritual, not operating in our flesh, not just, you know, God's given us abilities and giftings, but when we operate in the Spirit of God, we tap into the very power of God, which is not something you're going to be able to access in the natural realm. So prayer and intercession led by the Holy Spirit will get or reveal the heart of the matter. And that's what Daniel needed. Isn't that what you need in these days? You know, I know that you're not unlike me. You're facing decisions in life. You need answers to things. And you can get those answers, and you can have the confidence that the answer you get from him is going to be the right answer. Because his track record is unbeatable and undeniable. Great is his faithfulness, O Lord, throughout generations. So we can get to the heart of the matter. Romans 8, 26 to 27. The key words there are according to the will of God. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the second part of his prayer here in verse Daniel 2:18 is request compassion from the God of heaven. And many, many times we see in the Word of God, one instance, Jeremiah 33:3, call me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's what happens in prayer. We need an answer. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the next move is, but he does, because he has a plan. He has a progression of things or moves for each of us and for us as a church body as well. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's always near, but in prayer, he comes alongside us. We hear that still small voice. We know it's him. Jesus said in the Gospels, my sheep know my voice, and my sheep hear my voice. And we know his voice. If you have a relationship with Christ, you're going to know the counterfeit voice. There are many voices out there. Have you figured that out? That's what's happening in the media. That's a voice. It's a voice of fear. So we can know his voice when we know him. We come to know his voice. And the thing that I so appreciate about the Lord is he speaks to me in the way I can understand. He speaks to you in the way you can understand. It doesn't have to be like I get it, as long as you get it. And he does that. He's so individual and intimate in that way. And I just can't fathom how he does it, but I know he does. Amen? Is that your story? Call upon him while he is near. Because Jeremiah 33:8-9, his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. You know, I must confess, sometimes I think God has said this to me, only to find out, oops, and get a gentle rebuke and God saying, no, that's what you thought I said. That's not what I said. And so if we're persistent in prayer, he will give us the understanding. He will open up the heavens and give us what we seek from him. His thoughts, his ways. So you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord in prayer, and by uniting in prayer with friends or those committed to know what is God's heart or the heart of the matter. Next moves come through prayer and intercession. That's one way. Another way, breakthrough, vision, and revelation from verse 19, mostly, and verse 22. Verse 19 in Daniel chapter 2, the mystery, or we could say the unknown or the answer to prayer, was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. You know, I don't understand a vision. I just know that I get them. And my safeguard is I ask him to direct me to the Word of God, so that I'm not hoodwinked or I'm not led astray by what I see. It's a relatively new thing in my 40 plus years with the Lord, only in the last 5 years or so. And so that's the safeguard. Go to the Word of God and ask him for a scripture. So the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And if you study the scripture, you will find that throughout history, God revealed things in visions and in dreams. It's not something new to the times we live in. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Daniel, even if you just flip back one page, Daniel 1:17. It tells you, Daniel understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And for your study, Daniel chapter 7, verses 2, 7, and 13. Another example in the Old Testament, speaking of the prophet Samuel, who was the prophet during the time of Saul and David, this verse, Psalm 89:19, speaking of David. Once thou didst speak in a vision, and thy godly ones are one. And so it's talking about the prophet Samuel. He was the voice of God to his generation, that time, in the time of Saul and King David. We know another man, more recent, the Apostle Paul and others in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 12:1. Paul speaking, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord, or from the Lord, alluding to his experience with the Lord and how communication or revelation took place. Daniel 2:22, our text, it is he, God, who reveals the profound and hidden things. Revelation, if we were to just use everyday terms, it really means just to uncover something. It's there, but we don't see it. And God on his part says, now is the time to uncover it. That's when revelation takes place. It's simply an uncovering in God's timing. Something you couldn't see before God gave you light or revelation in your life or in your situation. Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Now, part of his covenant is his speaking, his relating to you and I. Because he's a covenant-keeping God, he will let us in on things. And whether it's through prayer, through dreams, through visions, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, discernment, word of wisdom, whatever it might be, that's part of his covenant with us, the secret things, the things that are hidden. This is the way the Passion Translation reads for Psalms 25:14. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God. You love him? Have you come to know him and love him? There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. And I call those moments aha. I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that. God lets us in on things. That's what revelation is. It's not complex. But it's a process of receiving and understanding and then interpreting things. And as I said, when you know, you would think after 40 plus years of walking with Christ, I would always understand something that I hear or see, but I don't. I'm sad to say that, but I have to still go to him. That's my part of the covenant. He keeps his part of the covenant, and he expects us to keep our part of that covenant as well. And so he will let us in on these things, these next moves, that what we might call next moves, come from Revelation. And you cannot ever predict when Revelation is going to happen. But I would say it happens when it needs to happen, when you're receptive to it, when you're ready to receive it, God uncovers it. So we need to cultivate a relationship with Holy Spirit so he will release these gifts and these understandings in our lives so that we can then in turn use them to help others, to encourage others, to bless others, to serve others. Matthew 20, verse 28. Next moves come through Revelation. Number three, next moves come through praise and thanksgiving. Verse 19 and 20. It says, verse 19, Daniel blessed the God of heaven for giving him revelation and light. Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And I love this psalm, and if you continue on, you will see it lists all those things in verses 3 to 5. It's a powerful reminder to us of how important praise is and thanksgiving is in our life. Now, the question came to me as I was preparing, blessing the Lord? Does God need to be blessed? Well, not really in the truest sense of the word, but he is blessed when we share with him, when we talk with him, when we seek him out. When we trust him, in other words, to give us our daily bread, whatever it is we need. Daily bread isn't about just food. It's about our daily provision, what we need to function and to prosper in today's culture and in today's world. This is how it says it in Psalms 33:1. Praise is becoming to the upright. Praise is becoming to the upright. And I was thinking of the song, Chris Tomlin didn't write it, but he made it popular, Good, Good Father. Some of you, or many of you, know that song. And it says, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me you're pleased, and I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. Before we say a word, he's good. He's faithful. He's a good, good father. I can hardly speak. Your peace is so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper, deeper still into your love, because you are a good, good father. And I always remember, music changes in the body of Christ, but I remember Don Moen, in his interpretation of Psalms 33:1, praises, praise is becoming to the upright. In one of his songs, says, praise looks good on you. That's his rendering of Psalms 33:1. So we see Daniel letting it rip here, again in these few short verses, Daniel 2:20. Let the name of God be blessed forever. Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. there is a dynamic that is released when we make the decision to praise. You know, we don't always feel like praising. I don't always feel like being thankful, though I know the scripture commands me to. But I have found in my experience that things get unlocked, chains get broken, things get released when I make the choice. In spite of how I feel, in spite of what I want to do or don't want to do, when I make a choice that He is worthy of my praise, wow, things get happening. And I think we need to get a deeper understanding of that, and we would practice a lifestyle of praise. If we truly understood what praise does and how it alters our circumstances, we wouldn't make our confession so dim. We wouldn't be a spiritual Eeyore. Oh me, oh my. You know, God hasn't forgotten about us just because we have some challenges. Just because everything's not going your way doesn't mean you've fallen out of God's favor. That's impossible. When you know Him, you know that that's not who He is. He's a God of love. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Psalm 72, 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God who alone works wonders. Blessed be His name. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. You know what that's going to look like? I can't even fathom it, but it's going to happen. And it's going to be awesome. You don't have to understand or even be able to see what it's going to look like to know it's going to be out of this world. So, He is blessed by when we tell Him how much we love and appreciate Him and all that He does, but more importantly, just how much we appreciate Him. Not what He does, because He does awesome stuff. But just for who He is, He's worthy to be praised. So we need to make praise and thanksgiving a lifestyle, and then we will be a blessing, not just to Him, but to others as well. And I would say it this way. Next moves are paved with praise and thanksgiving. It opens the door to things that you might not be able to experience in any other way. Number four, wisdom and understanding for the times. Verse 21 there in Daniel 2. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. We need to align ourselves with God, especially during times of change and turmoil. Are you seeing that we're in times where everything is uncertain? Everything seems to be changing. And how many of you would raise your hand and say you love change? Not many, I'm sure, if any. How many of you love turmoil? Well, we need wisdom during these times. And I didn't record the scripture, but it talks about the sons of Issachar. And it says they understood the times. In other words, we need to see through the smokescreen that the media is throwing out there right now. And stay grounded and founded in the love of God and in the Word of God. That's what's going to keep you afloat. It says there, he changes times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. Like the mover of the chess pieces, the chess master, what I saw in my vision, his vision for me. I missed this scripture in the overheads, Psalms 149, verses, just realized it. Psalms 149, 4 to 6. You know, I make a mistake every 10 years or so. Right. You got it? For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises, this is the one verse, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. You know, your sword doesn't do you any good when it's in the sheath. It's only good when you let it loose, when you use it, when you speak the word of God into your family, into your workplace, into your circumstances. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, and so forth. Number four, wisdom and understanding. Joshua 3, verse 4, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. You and I have a promised land. You have promises even now that God has planned and God has spoken, and they remain unfulfilled. How are they going to be fulfilled? By crossing your spiritual Jordan. By believing the Lord, by trusting the Lord, by speaking the word of the Lord. You are naive if you think God's going to do everything and you just have to watch things happen. He expects us to contend. He expects us to fight for that which he has spoken, that which he has prophesied, that which you have, that was birthed in an atmosphere of praise or prayer or thanksgiving. That's part of covenant. We covenant with him and it happens. He releases, he does do more than his share, but he expects us to partner with him by exercising the wisdom and understanding that he releases. But we have to choose to cross the Jordan. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He wants all of your heart, not a part of it, every bit of it. That's really the only thing we can give him. Everything else we've been given, faith, salvation, giftings, wisdom, understanding, he gives it all to us, but we can give him our heart. So we need to live a life of trust and use our God-given wisdom, but then ask for what we lack, and he will supply. James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, ask. And Proverbs 3:5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him, look to him, and he will direct your steps or your path or make your way straight. Philippians 4:19, God, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Wow, I made two more mistakes. Can you believe it? Three mistakes in one day. That, you must not have been praying for me last night. I go over the word every Sunday morning and I highlight the scriptures and then I write them out. I guess I needed another cup of coffee today or something. Some sort of revelation. Number five, revelation or resurrection, light and life. Talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It talks about light dawning on Marblehead. It talks about how the light shone and the curtain was moved away. And we understood that light, the God who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who was shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's the only one that can do it. And we need him to do it every single day. Job 12:22, he reveals mysteries. He brings darkness into light. James 1:17 calls him the father of light, or father of lights. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. None. I don't have this scripture, but I'm getting it, so you're going to get it. He dwells in unapproachable light, the scripture says. I mean, there's a place where we're not allowed to go yet. I think we're going to get there. I believe we're going to get there, but we're not there yet. It's a place he has for us in his very presence. So we need to live in his light, and then we will see our next moves. See, this is how it happened. This is how God has ordained it. He lifts the cover. He gives us the revelation. Well, why now, Lord? Why didn't I get it before? Sorry, I can't answer that. All I know is when he does it, you receive it. You take it and you walk in it. Because it's for that time. It's for that season. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. He's our reference point. That's what that scripture is saying there. He's our everything. We get everything we need in him and from him, if I were to paraphrase that. So his next moves are always good moves. Because he's a good, good father. He has a good plan for you and I. Not necessarily what we expect. I don't like surprises most of the time. I don't think you do either. I can remember, I'm pretty good at this. I can say things with a straight face when I'm joking. But anyway, if you can believe it, I was just remembering now, I don't know why, but tell me how I convince my wife when we were going to have her or our wedding shower. I just need, honey, we just need to go to the church at this particular time. And then we opened the door and there's all her friends and her family. Whack. No, not really. But she looked, I got the look. Guys, you know the look? I got the look. That's not the only time. I get the look probably every week. Anyway, you're all laughing, guys, because you know. You know the look. You know the look of love. What's the song? The look of love is in your eyes. The look you can't disguise. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So his move for you is already planned. He's waiting for you to step into it, walk into it, partner with him in it. It's already planned for your success and for you to prosper. To him be the glory forever and ever. And God's people said, Yahoo. Amen. God bless you.